Hello, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Fandom Access. I am your ever-faithful host, TJ. The lady shall be here shortly. So tonight, unfortunately, we have lives aside from this podcast. So things are still working themselves out. Next week, we should be on a regular show type thing. So tonight, once the ladies get here, Jamie and I are going to briefly, spoiler-free, talk Avengers. And then Karen and I will talk about Cloak and Dagger with everything that I've seen so far. I think it's the first three episodes I've seen. And then I will bid you all adieu tonight for the night. And then the ladies will talk about Discovery of Witches, the OA, and whatever else they got going on.
Hi, AJ. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes,
in a public place. Okay, good.
I can hear you.
I'm sitting right under the speaker, so I hope the noise is not too bad.
Nope, just sounds
I can
like a
move
bit
if you need me to.
That's about it.
All right.
I don't mind it.
It's I'll move away from the speaker. Anyway, it's nice to talk to you. I'm sorry that you've been so busy that you haven't caught up on everything.
I'm getting there. I was just telling our listeners that by next week I should be all caught up.
Hmm? I'm sorry,
what? I was just telling all our listeners that by next week I should be all caught up. Stupid boy. All
right, you're going to get... I know, raising kids, having a wife, it's really exhausting, I'm sure. It's got to be exhausting.
So
we're waiting on Jamie. You guys are going to do a little bit of Avengers, right? And I'm going to, like, not pay attention, do a little bit of la, la, la.
Well, we're not we're not saying anything. We're not saying anything spoilery. It's going to be at the most a whole quick two-minute thing, because that's about as much as I can say without spoiling anything.
Yeah. I mean, only 40 million people have seen it, which leaves, like, 250 million Americans who haven't, so.
Yeah.
Well, like,
I don't know where
yeah.
Jamie is. So,
all right. Well.
Do you want to talk about Cloak and Dagger while we wait on Jamie?
Sure. Let's talk about it. You've been catching up, huh?
I've seen up to episode three.
Okay, I might have seen four. I think I missed the most recent episode, but
I know
this season I
think it was at least four when I started watching it.
Okay,
so you've probably seen
so we'll talk up through wherever you got to. This
the
season is kind
thing,
of really right. Different, huh?
Oh, never mind.
What's
here
the last thing
is.
You saw? Okay.
I'm just watching Jamie real
yeah,
quick.
Sorry,
hey, Jamie.
I had to find the phone. Hi.
Hi, Jamie.
Karen and I are going to do Cloak and Dagger, and then you and I will talk about Avengers. So
you're going to do that now?
The last...
I can't.
We're going to do Cloak and... We just started talking about Cloak and Dagger because we were waiting on you.
Okay, how long are you going to
It'll just take a couple minutes. It'll just take a couple minutes.
I have no idea what you said.
Okay, go ahead.
But Jamie has limited time tonight.
We apparently all do. So... We're not limited, but anyway. The last thing I saw was right after they rescued the girls. That was the last episode I saw.
Okay.
So let me ask. I'm slightly familiar with the characters. I'm familiar with the character of Mayhem. What did you think about all that whole splitting of the cops?
Like, the splitting of the cop into the other dimension and how he was trapped in the shopping mall for a while or whatever, and then he brought back that whole business, how you can go into the cloak, kind of. I'm not sure how I feel about that. It felt like, I mean, they're superheroes, and so they're sort of magical, but I sort of was, like, not loving the whole alternate dimension kind of thing. What do you think about it?
I'm used to it.
Because
it's in the comic book. You know me, it doesn't bother me as much. If it's done well, I don't mind it so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the
I mean,
the show the first episode when it started out, how Tandy and Tyrone are complete opposites of who they were in season one. You know, Tandy's got the nice home life. Tyrone's now living in the church. So I thought that was kind
of so cool. And also they're lying to each other, and they're not being honest with each other, which I kind of, you know, I like how these two, they go from, like, lying to each other to best friends to lying to each other to best friends. And, I mean, they're teenagers. I kind of like that.
Exactly.
I'm not sure I'm down with the overall storyline about human trafficking. Not that it's not an important storyline, but this show got real heavy in a very different way. And we're blending a human trafficking storyline with a personality split. Like, what's her name? Bridget the cop. Her personality split is because of that stuff that was leaking out of the pipe that they're testing on the mics. Like, we've got two, like, very different things going on. And I think human trafficking is an important storyline. I don't know if I want this show to be the one to take it on.
I guess
we'll
see.
What do you think about it? I guess we'll see.
I was kind of surprised, weren't I? Because I know in comics, they actually they dealt with they get a lot of. You got to remember in the store in the comics, they're based in New York, so they did a lot.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, they did a lot of drug related storylines where they were like stopping drug dealers and stuff. It was but I guess, you know, part of it with being in New Orleans, I read an article last year, they wanted to veer away from some of the storylines because they're in a different location, so I was a little surprised to see the human trafficking storyline, but, I like what I see so far. You know, it's the third, I've only seen it for three episodes, so it's like, you know, we'll see where it goes and how they do it.
Well, I do like, and I think you're up to episode three. You've seen some of. I think the show is really good when it focuses on, well, not when it focuses, but when it touches on what it means to be a young black man in America. And I think they're doing a good job with that, considering that I am not a young black man in America, and I don't know what it is, but I feel like they're helping me to see it a little bit, and I think they do it well. Maybe if I was black, I wouldn't think that, but that's what I think as a white person.
Gotcha.
Right? No, but you get it? Like, I think they do a good job of continually reminding us of, like, this pretty blonde girl and this young black man are treated differently by the power structures they encounter throughout the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm a week ahead of you. You can probably guess where the show is going, and maybe we'll talk about it next week once you're caught up a little bit.
Yeah, we'll get more in depth with it next week once I get caught up.
Yeah.
All right. So Jamie.
Hey.
Take it away. What do you got to say about Avengers?
Okay. Do we want to? Let's do the other stuff first. We'll come, even though we're not going to spoil it. We'll wait till Avengers.
All that's all I have left to talk about.
No, I know. The only reason I say that is some people that are super, super, super cautious might not want to listen at all, and then they won't come back. Without saying any spoilers, then. I can't hear you. It's like all crackly.
Oh, I have a little noise. Let me put you on mute while you guys talk.
Okay. So anyway, I'm just saying,
to
tell whether we like it or not, we don't have to spoil it all so people don't have to hang up. But I know that you liked Endgame. I liked Endgame. I just think there were a lot of problems and plot holes, but it was still really good. So that's all I have to say, and we'll talk about it next week.
And that's,
give more people a chance to see it.
Yeah, which is why we'll talk about it more in depth next week, because there's only one possible plot hole that I can think of. There might be more that you think there is, if you missed something or didn't think about something. I also went with a bunch of people that know the history of the comics.
Yeah, there's a lot of details that
don't make sense.
If you read some of the reviews, a lot of people talk about it.
We actually went to the diner afterwards and sat there and like digested the movie. But yeah, there's only one possible plot hole that that really was glaring to me, which obviously we're not going to get into it now. But other than that, I mean,
I don't know. It's not a lot more than that.
Action sequence. There was a
35
minute
action sequence. Yeah, no, it's still
definitely
worth it and still great. But I was kind of, I don't know, distracted by a lot of the things that were kind of, I don't know, didn't quite, some of what they said, they kind of I can't think of the right word, but they kind of said some things, and then what they said later went against what they said. So anyway, but that we'll talk about that next week. All right, so
yeah.
Karen, you want to start with Discovery Witches or OA?
Either one. I think we're going to say goodnight to AJ.
So,
is he gonna?
Yeah, I'm gonna.
No Game of Thrones for you, AJ. All right.
We'll talk more in depth about Game of Thrones two episodes next week. I'm gonna drop
off.
Okay.
I didn't realize
you were
leaving right away. I'm sorry. I misunderstood
that.
Yeah.
When you guys are done, text me and I'll end the show unless one of you want to log in to the website.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so let's talk about the OA because it's getting behind us a little bit. We need to catch up.
Yeah.
And
I figure we might go kind of do the speed of the live sweep. We could next week do the two last episodes, but for right now we'll just do episode 6. Okay.
Okay, yeah.
So,
which was an amazing episode.
Like you have the TV on in the background or something.
I'm in the bar. I'm sorry. I'm in the coffee shop.
Okay.
I came here to do some work, and I'm trying to get
to
a quiet place, but it's a little noisy here. I'm sorry.
That's
okay. It's getting quieter. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I just thought maybe, the phone wasn't working. I wasn't sure at first, that's all.
I'm so busy. This is an incredible episode. Go ahead.
Magic Mirror, episode 6. So this one's back with the Stress with 5 again. And this is basically the episode where Jesse has done some research and finds out that there is actually a Dr. Roberts in San Francisco. And the hospital that he found has some of the – like when they looked up the architecture and things that had to do with the hospital, she talked about that it could fit. So he wants to go check that out, but they're kind of don't know that they should. But they end up ditching their phones because they're getting tracked. And this is where we also find out that they didn't tell anybody they left. They never called their parents. We just sort of discussed this last time. Minor and poor BBA, right? I mean. She told them to call. It wasn't her fault, but it's like, if somebody finds her, she's still going to be the one to be blamed. They thought that through a little bit more because they knew that, and it's like they just didn't. I guess they just did it to cause another problem in the action, but it just seems like a simple thing that the kids should have thought of. But anyway, so the rest of it, the other part of it is that they're heading to her uncle's. Because she wants to go there first because her uncle is really sick and is probably going to die, and she wants to see him before he does. So basically they all head in the car, and they head over to her uncle's where they have some fun on the beach and hang out and that. But Jesse talks to the uncle with the sole purpose of stealing his medicine patches. I don't know if it's this or what they are. I forget what medicine it was. But the point
it's
is...
some kind of painkiller or something, yeah.
Yeah, but the point is he takes the drugs, he ODs, and they find him in the morning dead, which I think is one of the... there's so many shocking things in this show. It's one of the shocking things that is less weird. that they killed Jesse in this timeline. And then everybody does the movements... the thing is, when I rewatched this last night, it doesn't seem like everybody actually does it. Like, they all do pieces of it, but I don't know, did they all ever, all stand together and do them?
So I felt like they did, but a little bit sort of half-heartedly or not that into
it.
And I kind of felt like they, and only Steve. Like, Steve is so into it, he does it. And I just felt like that was sort of, what's been going on. Part of this episode was, like, how they're starting to become, like, they're getting depressed, they're getting distracted, they're getting sad, and, like, Steve is so committed. Like, Steve is the number one who's so committed to finding the OA. I don't know if he wants to find the OA or he just wants to get out of his life that he has right now and get to the alternate. And the rest of them are sort of, like, all, like, maybe not so I think that Buck is committed. I don't know. I just felt like it sort of, the way in which they didn't really all commit to the, So here's a question. Do we feel like they didn't commit to the movements because they're depressed and losing there, or did they all see something like, look, he killed himself, he's gone, let him go, and they could all see it, and Steve couldn't see it. He's so desperate that he wanted to.
What I wasn't sure of, because it made me wonder if they had done it better, would he have come back? Because we know, without getting into too spoilery territory, that the movements work. So
yeah,
the fact that it didn't, I don't know. I question that. I don't know if we're just supposed to think they gave up, or if it was just supposed to mean that they couldn't bring him back. If it was because, maybe because OA and the others, they, even though they didn't know he was going to come back to life, they had such, like, dedication and, I guess, faith in a way. Like, so I don't know. That's not, is not answered, but that's why I was curious kind of on your take on that, because that is one thing that I wondered about. But,
I wasn't surprised.
Over again.
It doesn't work for Steve by himself.
Healing, I think. Sorry?
Yeah. I wasn't surprised that he couldn't do it by himself. Like, I mean, you need all five of you to travel. You only need two to heal someone, right?
And that's my wonder, too, is that maybe it has to be just those two specific, or at least those two in that order. I can't remember. When they got the movements, were they in order, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or did they get them out of order?
I think
they
got them out.
I'm wondering if maybe because if it is, they could have done them out of order, and that could be the problem. But I don't know. The first time I watched it, I got it, he just wasn't going to come back. And then the second time I watched it, I wasn't sure if he should have.
I mean, I think that we also saw in this episode that this is a character who wanted to die. Like, so much of what this show has been about is near the experiences of people who wanted to live and chose to live. And this is a character who chose to die. And I'm not saying that's why they wouldn't work, but I'm saying that's why maybe not everyone was committed. Like, this character was becoming so much more and more depressed, and it seemed like, in retrospect, kind of obvious that he was in a really bad place. And, you know, he has that really nice conversation with the father, and then come to find out he actually stole the medicine. But character who was, these movements maybe, we only see them used for characters who want to live. I mean, I'm not saying that's why they didn't work. I'm saying that's why Steve maybe, you know, I don't know. It just was really interesting that we saw a whole different kind of a death this week.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what it's supposed to mean. I just was curious. I don't know if you're supposed to put more into it or not. Like I said, the first time I really didn't. I didn't even think much about it. It wasn't until I watched it again that I kind of questioned it. Because I thought they all did the movements, but then when I was rewatching it, I realized that
I haven't seen it a long time. I also really love BBA in this episode. I mean, she's just incredible I just feel like her acting is incredible, and she's the only adult with these kids, and she's so good with them, and she's so, like, you know, they do such a good job of making you understand why this grown woman is undertaking this with these kids. Phyllis Smith is her name, I think. And she's so in tune with the kids, and she's so, like, I also just loved part of this episode that was really unrelated to the mystery was just understanding how BBA felt about her uncle and what BBA's been through in her life and why it's so important for her to be with her uncle out of bed. And the kids are like, we got to get to the OA, we got to make the jump, whatever. And she's like, no, I'm telling you, I can't do anything until I say goodbye to my uncle. And we learned so much about, like, what motivated her and what her childhood was like. and what it, like,
and
it was
she
such
went
a,
to away and let things happen to begin with. She was kind of like in a bad
yeah,
spot, I guess. They kind of
yeah,
all
right?
To some
it was,
extent. I feel like
it was such a good character
came together.
Story.
Yeah.
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 I mean,
and then
it was
I think it's in this one, doesn't she see, this is when she sees what her dream was, right? I'm pretty sure that's this one. I don't want
yeah.
to say if it's not, but I mean, we know he's dead, so I don't think it's really going to matter one way or the other. She sees her dream again and realizes that it was actually Steve that was coming, not her brother, that was, I don't know, giving her a message. We don't know exactly what it meant, but the one she's seen in her
when
dream.
She's been seeing her brother,
Jesse.
Right?
Yeah, but it was actually Jesse. I said Steve, I meant Jesse. And then the other, like, really big part of the episode is that French, and I don't know why he did it. I think he was an idiot that he did it. I remember being mad at him. But although I kind of, at the same time, he doesn't want to get in trouble, so I guess I understand it, but they were kind of digging a deeper and deeper hole. But he calls the FBI, like, you know, to get help for them to figure out what to do. And it's the guy that was in the first season that French met that was looking through the books or whatever in OA's house. People question also now if he is the quote-unquote brother or if there's a different brother in each universe and one of them's, you know, Kareem and one's him. We don't really know what he was doing there, though, because the books actually ended up becoming, I don't know, a problem that made them think it wasn't real. But at the same time, the father had said those books were there before it, so I don't think he was, like, putting the books there. Because I remember the beginning, I kind of wondered if maybe he was planting them, but he wasn't. So, but anyway, he realizes that BBA has some kind of psychic abilities, and they start talking about spaces and how the dimensions are connected between these spaces. And that she might be a medium.
Yeah,
she
right?
can actually feel. She can feel their other versions and stuff nearby, like in the other dimensions, which is interesting. And I think important, somewhat, in understanding maybe, like we talk about, it's only safe for her to go. We won't go into the details of that because we haven't gotten to that point yet. But she seems to be able to feel when people are there and not there in the other world. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because the FBI guy, Elias, I never really thought of him as a person that was anything as a part of this. And then he starts being kind of cryptic, like, what is a space? What is a house? And that's sort of like, coaches BBA through her, you know, as BBA starts to understand what's going on, he coaches her through it a little bit. And he says, I've been sent to help her. Which is a weird, thing also. I don't really,
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember why I think I rewatched part of it. Somebody had told me on Twitter, and I'm sorry, I don't remember who it was, but we were talking about the colors in the show and how there's a lot of red. Well, there's also a few orange. Most notably, I think the main thing is that Kareem's car is orange. Well, if you look in this scene, I don't remember exactly where it was, and it isn't necessarily like saying it's the FBI guy's car or anything, but there's an orange car. Because I was like, what are they talking about? And I remember looking it up, and there is actually an orange car, so that was interesting.
Well, and Kareem's car is orange.
I don't know if that means anything. But
yeah.
Which, I mean, maybe that's him in this universe. Maybe he's, you know, in the parking lot for some reason. We don't know. But I also noticed this guy's last name, Raheem, and Kareem are kind of close. They sound a lot the same. They're like two letters apart. I don't know if that has anything to do with anything, but I noticed it.
Yeah, I don't know.
And it also says, and I'm looking at Refinery 29, they have a recap. They're saying that behind him the mirror vibrated. That I did not notice. So I don't know if Rachel there or not. I have no idea. I think if there's anything else or something I wanted to say, but I don't remember what it was. I don't know, but it doesn't say here, but I think that they kind of, this is where they get the idea that maybe they should go do what Jesse planned, what his idea was, and to go look for the hospital because they feel bad because of everything that happened. And also bad because they kind of left his body and that just kind of ran away, essentially. Like,
yeah.
He's, not that he could do anything, but at least he kind of stayed behind a little bit. So, I think this is a very sad episode.
I think it's my favorite episode of the season. You know, as much as I love being with the OA and I think Kareem's a great character, I really like being with the Crestwood gang. I think those are my favorite episodes. And this was just so emotional and so, like, character drives, like, all their characters advance. This is a huge, to me, this was the biggest thing that's happened to these kids since the school shooting, right? They've been through a school shooting, and then to have this happen, like, and then BBA's dream and the way BBA moves forward in a way that it, if you watch the rest of the season, this is so important for BBA's. I mean, even if you haven't watched it, you know this is a huge moment for BBA. I love this episode. Character-wise, this is the best episode. Maybe not visually or overarching story-wise, but character-wise, I love this episode.
Yeah, it's really good. I think you're probably right. I never really thought about specifically which my favorite is since I watched it kind of in two lumps, so they all kind of mash together. But yeah, I think you're right with that. It does have a lot of the character drama that sometimes gets – I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the mythology. I love the wild part. But sometimes it overshadows the characters a bit. So this is one that it does kind of give that time that they need to develop them a bit. More in this episode, but it still, you know, it still opens more questions, and I think that Elias, I can't even say it, he's probably going to be more important later. I mean, we don't really know, but I feel like there's got to be, I don't know, something more to him, that will probably be, you know, next season or whatever, because I don't think they would just, you know. There's something going on. He seems too important, but we don't really find much out. I don't know. Did you like how they switched back and forth, though, between the two groups? Because a lot of – I had told you before that some people said you should watch the two Crestwood episodes together. Like, it made more sense. I never felt that I needed to watch things in a different order. But it is a little jolting the way that they switch if you're watching it. Just because it's, like, completely devoted to that, you know what I mean? It just kind of all – then you have to wait, like, a week. I mean, we know they do this in Walking Dead and everything. I'm just saying – I was just curious if, like, kind of how you felt about that.
I agree with you. I'm pretty sure that I want to watch this series in the way the creators asked us to watch it. And so for me to watch the Crestwood episodes in order – might give me a different perspective, but it's not the perspective the creators asked me to accept. So definitely the first time I want to watch it this way, maybe always, right? I mean, okay, so something like, hate to go back to Lost, but a show like Lost that I've watched for 10 years, I can go back and watch chronological and see the whole thing in that order and get in perspective, but I don't want
to
do that when I'm still sort of, and I'm still sort of processing the whole. No, I don't. I think that, and I particularly think that the creators of the OA in particular have been really thoughtful about it. Like, these are people who have thought about the length. They purposely make them a different length. I think the creators of the show have asked us to watch it a certain way, and they purposely did not put the Crestwood story back to back.
Right. And the other thing is they hide a lot of clues in the show when you watch it back, you know, for the third time or whatever it is I'm on. A lot of times you see them, and that's kind of why I would want to watch it in order. But I do know sometimes, like with any other show, you're like, I wanted to see what happened, and then you got to wait because they go there. But at least this you can binge, which makes it easier. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, is there anything else? I'm trying to think if there's anything we missed.
I think that's pretty good.
It wasn't really deep mythology-wise. So next week is 7. And like I said, if you want to do 7 and 8 next week, we could finish it up. But
I think we can do that.
Unless maybe
but,
8 needs its own. I don't know how much longer it's going to take to talk about 8, but I think we can probably talk about them together. Excuse me. It's hiccups so bad.
Okay.
All right, well. There it goes again. Sorry. Okay.
All right.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm trying to do that. I hate when I get hiccups. I get, like, violent hiccups. They hurt. Sometimes I can't make them stop.
Really? Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, because I always, people think I'm not, because I will sometimes pick up so loudly, like, it's annoying to other people. But I don't know, I just, they're really hard when I get them, and I can't always stop it. But anyway, sorry, I'm getting sidetracked. Okay, well, I guess we might as well do Discovery of Witches then, and we'll do the rest of OA next week. And the live tweet is tomorrow night at 9 Eastern. If people hopefully want to tune in. I don't know if as many people are still doing it, but I don't know. Might as well finish it up. I enjoy doing it, and there's a few people at least that are still into it. So, all right. Well,
okay.
So let's move on to Discovery of Witches. So this was episode 4.
Yeah.
And this is the episode where Matthew takes Diana to Septor's, to his mother to keep her safe. So what, I'll ask you first, since you usually have a different opinion, what did you think?
So I gotta say, I thought this episode was a little slow. I complained last week. I don't think a lot really happened in this episode. I guess the heart of this episode is Matthew and Diana falling in love, which I argue with. I don't really think there's a basis in being in love, but they're attracted to each other. I think the crux of it is they're them being drawn together. And I didn't really, like, there's a lot of that that I don't like. Then there's this whole separate thing going on with, like, the witch demon politics kind of thing going on. I'm struggling that I don't really see a lot of chemistry between Matthew and Diana. And I feel like they're immensely attracted to each other because the show tells me that. I'm not sure I see that. I know my friends who read the books tell me that, like, there's so much more in the book. They're so attracted to each other. It's so magical. They're drawn together, blah, blah, blah. And I get that. But I just feel like I'm not.
There's a lot more time in the book, too, than there is in a TV show.
I just feel like they barely know each other. And in this episode, she's like, I love you. And I'm like, well, you've met him 3 times. And when she said, I love you, even he's like, you don't love me, you don't know me. And I'm like, yeah, you don't know him. You've never had a conversation that wasn't around this book. And so I was a little frustrated about that. I just felt like nothing really happened. I felt like all that time it is, like, I'm intrigued by the mother because she's, like, one scary bitch, right? But
yeah, she's awesome.
I don't know. What did you? I know you read the books before this, and I know you've seen the whole show, right? So
yeah,
I'm
seen
a little
the whole
bit.
I was almost done with the show before I started the books. I don't remember exactly when I started them, but just I went really fast through the first book. I read it in like a day and a half or something, so I read it at some point.
That good, huh?
I get what you're saying. Yeah, I get what you're saying. They don't really know each other. I didn't really feel like that, but I don't know. I a lot of shows are like that, and I didn't. You kind of got to suspend your belief, I guess, in that sense. But I will say, see, I don't want to say too much, but a lot of this I feel like, and I think part of that is apparent here, that it's not necessarily that he doesn't love her; it's that he's trying to protect her, and also there's some kind of, I don't want to say too much, but there's some vampire customs, I guess, we'll put it that way. I don't want to say politics, customs, that they do things differently. So to him, it's not exactly the same, and I can't really say much more than that, but more of that develops in the book, and a lot of that isn't even really discussed in the show. And next week when we go over it, I can kind of tell you a little bit more about that. But yeah, I think right now he's just kind of trying to protect her, and he's kind of like, they're saying he has to take her back I hate when I do that. Take her back to the vampires and that, because they'll kill her if he doesn't. But the one thing that I find kind of funny in this is that through the whole show, the other vampires, obviously they want the book. I mean, they're using their relationship as an excuse. We discussed that before, but
yeah.
They all have this thing of, like, when Domenico comes and, you know, threatens them, it's kind of like, you know, they broke the covenant. But the thing is, they didn't break the covenant, and nobody ever, like, actually asks if they did. I don't know why. I just kind of felt that was funny. Like, you're right. It's fast for them to be together, but it's like at the same time, they've only known each other a few days, so why do they already assume that they've quote-unquote, in their words, made it, you know. I don't know. For whatever reason, I just found that kind of strange that nobody ever actually asks. They just assume. And obviously she doesn't know until she's told by Marte what it even means. And they kind of go into how Isabeau's husband, the husband that said fired father. It's kind of confusing. It was different between families and vampire families, but it was Isabeau's husband, and he had sired her. But anyway, he came up with this idea. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, so the whole part in the house there bothered me. Like, I felt like it really reads like a romance novel or like an old-timey movie. Like, I feel like this whole thing with Isabeau and Matthew and bringing Diana there. Like, did you ever see, like, Rebecca, which is this old-timey novel and movie about this guy who, the older guy, gets a younger wife, brings her home, and there's all this mystery going on in the house, and the housekeeper's really mean, and there was an ex-wife that no one will talk about. There's all this mystery going on, and I just felt like I really have seen this in, like, old-timey gothic novels about the new wife and the past mystery. And then, like, he's like, let me dance with my mother. And then he's like, let me dance with you. She's like, I can't dance, but they do an awesome tango, and then there's magic, and then she, cries, and the rain falls. And I know it's about being with Matthew brings out her magic, and that she's an incredibly powerful witch, and this is all coming out, and I get that, but I feel like it's, I really am not sure I'm down with the idea of this woman only finding her power through a man bringing it out in her. To me, it's really disempowering for women, and I'm really not comfortable with a story that a woman can't be powerful unless a man brings it out in her.
I get that. I don't know that I quite feel that that's the case. I mean, some of this was already, without going into things that you don't know yet, because it would really confuse even more if I tried to tell you.
Some
of the stuff that happened,
you're right.
Let's just say that it was already predestined and that it isn't, I mean, I see what you're saying. Yes, in a way it is that she gets it when she gets with him, but there's kind of a lot more to it.
Like
and I don't know how much we're into in the series, but.
In these first episodes, her sexual awakening with an older man is bringing it out.
It's not that she has no power. It's that she doesn't know how to control the power. And he helps her figure out how to control the power, but the fact that she can't control it is not because of him. It has nothing to do with him. Let me just put it that way. Maybe that's the easy way to explain.
All right.
Like, he helps her understand and go on her journey, but you'll find out there's reasons
why. I get how in these early episodes it appears that she's a woman whose power was suppressed until a man brought out her sexual awakening made her able to have power.
I get why
it's cool
not.
Right now. All right.
No, but yeah,
I totally
get that feeling. But yeah, there's a reason for everything, and they're just not. Are you okay? Sorry, her back's hurting her.
Yeah.
I
know that this is. There's a whole other thing going on in this about like the politics of the congregation. The vampires are so shady at the congregation. The witches are pretty shady also. I feel like the demons are the most honest people involved here. But the whole congregation and the politics, I'm hoping, will be kind of interesting. They're clearly fighting over... Clearly everyone knows Diana's powerful except for Diana right now, right? I mean, they're all, lying.
I'm listening to you, but I'm sort of listening because I'm making sure she's okay.
Oh, is that your mom or your grandma? I hope they're okay.
Yeah, my grandma. My grandma. I'm making sure she's okay. I'm trying to do both.
There's
the congregation.
Story, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say how they kind of mentioned the fact that Philippe is the one that made these rules, and Marte kind of very briefly says that, you know, the different creatures were taking what they wanted, and this is kind of a way to keep the peace with that they don't interact so much. But there'll be more on that later. And then the only other thing I think, you were saying about the magic, that's her gleam when she lights up when she dances.
Oh,
and
that's
kind of how she knows how to dance too. But Domenico threatens her, and then she has the witch water, which is explained a bit more in the book. Obviously, it's another one of her big powers. But the other thing I was going to explain about the demons that are important is that, looking for the name because I'm blanking out here. But the mother, the
Agatha.
No, Agatha, I meant of the demons. She kind of talks to Nathaniel and Sophie, and you learn about Sophie's statue that she wants to give to Diana, and that obviously comes into play a bunch more later. And then, yeah, Matthew leaves because he doesn't want to put her in danger, and he's kind of like, I'm making this decision for you, but which she is not okay with, definitely. But at the same time, he's making the decision to go back, and he's making decisions saying, oh, we're not going to break the covenant, but yet he's also basically deciding he's going to stop her from going back, too. So he's kind of, I don't know, I feel like he's controlling it both ways.
He's very controlling. He's very controlling, and he won't explain anything. Like when she's like, I love you, and he's like, I don't even know you, and he runs off, but you can stay. And he's got, you know, like, take my blood. Let me take your blood. Let me do this. Let me do that. Give me the book. I think part of what when I told her I don't like the idea that she can't have her power without him, and I know that's not where it's going, but I feel like he's a very controlling older man, and she's a very confused younger woman, and he gives her no information. He just gives her instructions, and
she very much, as the story goes on, though, does not put up with him, less so in the book, I think, than in the
All right. I mean, I get
but
that, but right now, he's controlling, and she's passive. And he gives her no information, and she goes along with it. And, you know, so I think her friend is a jerk who keeps talking to the authorities. And I get that her friend is a little afraid now of this guy. But I feel I'm almost not surprised because at least that person is doing something. And like, Diana's willfully ignorant. She allows this strange man to... I'm really kind of just not down with her weaknesses right now and her letting this guy, like, let me take you to my vampire mother's house in France. Okay, I'll ask you no questions about it. I'll take no preparation. My aunt, who I've loved my entire life, is warning me, but let me ignore her because this guy is hot. Like, I just feel like she's behaving in a very bad way, and she's got no agency, and he's controlling. I
get that.
Like,
it's hard when they have to cut so much out. I feel like, you know, when I hear
from
your
perspective,
like, I could totally get that, but I'm totally thinking, but this has meaning, you haven't gotten that yet, and a lot of it they've had to cut out, you know. But
I mean, it's very Twilight-ish. It's very Twilight-ish in that this girl is like, this vampire is so hot, let me just see what he says. It's a romance story. Like, it's playing like a romance novel on the television right now.
Yeah, it's got romance too, but yeah, I think there's a lot more story development within the books. But anyway,
and maybe
the
next
thing is at the end she causes the rain because she's so upset about her witch water. But
and everyone's
anyway,
blown
the
away.
The point is he's being an ass because he's trying to protect her. It's kind of the main thing. I mean, he does love her. He is so protective of her, which only
I don't think he loves her. I think they have an attraction that maybe is sexual, maybe is magical, but I don't see this being love because they've never had a real conversation. Like, I don't see a basis of a relationship there. I see them being drawn together, maybe by magic, but I don't see love. When she says, I love
you,
I'm like...
Yeah, you know what I kind of wonder? I wonder if this show, and I'm assuming that they did it for time and just the way they had to do it to make sure they got the whole show done, too, the whole series. But I almost kind of wonder if it would have been better as, like, 6 seasons instead of 3. And, like, the first book they had put a little
Let
bit more
go longer.
In. Because
yeah.
the thing is, they've actually added stuff in the show that works really well, but it's just so much they cut. And things are different, too. Like, I feel the character of Baldwin was way different in the book, his brother Baldwin. And anytime you cut a book, it's going to be like that. But, yeah, it does cut out a lot of story, makes it a lot about the romance, and you kind of got to suspend your disbelief. But I don't know. I've seen the chemistry from the beginning, you know. Everybody kind of feels different because I hadn't read the book at the beginning when I saw it, but I binged it too. So binging can make a difference, but I think like we aren't necessarily, well, I don't want to say it's not like a teen show, but I wouldn't say we're necessarily the main target audience either, you know, because
no,
it's still a romance.
But these are the book. Like, I have friends who, like, you like the book. I have a friend who's, like, 50 who likes the book. I know people who like the books and, you know, are like, okay, well, like, I know that my other friend is, like, she's, like, said the same thing. She's, like, he's read the book. You'd see their attraction is about so much more that she says they're in love, but it's really about, like, other stuff. And I think you're right that rushing it maybe is, I don't know.
I don't want to say this is a teen show because I don't feel that it is, but I feel books, to some extent, are a little bit more adult. Like, there's a lot more, not necessarily in the first book, but there's a lot of sex in the book, and, you know, I mean, it's, I feel like to some extent when they put things on television, they want the most people to see it that can, and they're kind of, some of that, they, you know.
Yeah.
Because even like I said, he's also much more violent and much more possessive in the book. But a lot of those kind of things, you know, you learn more about.
Yeah.
It's just like given to you. So it's hard a lot of times when they do that. But anyway, you can see the rest, see how you feel.
Anyway,
as you start
I'm
to learn a bit
it,
more.
But I have some. Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see. But anyway.
All right.
Okay, well, I think that's it. The only other thing I wanted to mention was that my Tom Ellis interview for Lucifer will be up soon, depending on, I got to see how many spoilers are in it. It'll either be up within the next couple days or it'll be up on the 8th. I really got to check out exactly, so I don't want to give an exact date, but that's coming. And then some reviews soon once things are not embargoed. As I told you, I started watching Fear the Walking Dead premiere.
I know. I'm so excited.
Can't say anything about it, but
I'm so excited that you're getting screeners and that you can post about that eventually. And
eventually.
This is a better show of the franchise, so we'll look forward to that. And we'll do Game of Thrones next week. AJ and I table this week because we haven't seen it, which is totally unacceptable, but whatever.
And probably next week, it might be beneficial. I might talk, not that I got to go in depth, but I might talk a couple minutes about the Shadowhunters finale because it's a series finale next week. It's a couple episodes.
Yeah, you should.
And that's the other thing that reminded me, I found out just actually right before we started the podcast, there actually are some new Cassandra Clare books coming out too.
Really?
I know you didn't read them, but you need to.
I read them, but I know what they are,
Yeah, well, there's also, like, obviously there's the ones that are about the Shadowhunters, but there's also the why do I do that all the time? Like, seriously, like about the Clockwork Angel and all that, they're more, I feel like more adult, I guess, than the ones that are about Shadowhunters. But there's a series that's about Magnus and Alec. That's one series. I don't know if I'll read that. But then there's the Last Hour trilogy, which comes is the next generation after the Infernal Devices. And there's there's a set of short story stuff that was written by their authors too. So that stuff's coming out for people that are interested. So at least if you're, you know, upset the show's ending, there's gonna be more to read at least.
Cool.
But that's wrapping up next week, so
All right.
Well, I guess that's about it. I will talk to you next week, and we'll talk about Avengers.
All
You'll see it by then. Go watch it.
I'm going to see it this weekend, All right, cool.
Okay, good.
All right,
okay.
Have a good night.
Talk to you soon. Thanks.
All right.
I'll text you.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.